This afternoon, the scripture portions are found in both Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we will read the first 15 verses in Genesis chapter 4. And in the New Testament, the scripture portion is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11, the first 6 verses. First, in the Genesis chapter 4, now, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Amen. Reading further, in the Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament, the 11th chapter, the first 6 verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. After sermon, we'll sing Psalter 111. Let's read again Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, which is our sermon text today. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Everyone sacrifices something for something else. No matter how much children may take it for granted, parents sacrifice a lot, both time and money, for their children. Once they were born and until they grow adults, and sometimes even after they became adults. But often many more people sacrifice for themselves. Sports players sacrifice their time and ease to develop their abilities. Scholars sacrifice their time for researching their specific field. Artists sacrifice their time to make something beautiful to eyes and ears. Even there is so much sacrifice in our days for just hobbies and entertainments. When people nowadays hear the word sacrifice, people think of this kind of activities. What is the best sacrifice? Some would say there is no best sacrifice. Each may do what he wants to do. This is what our pluralistic and relativistic society tells. Be the best in the world, whatever you do. Pursue your own goals. But what does God's word say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifices are not for yourself, or even in the first place, it's not for others. Sacrifice is ultimately for God. The best sacrifice is the sacrifice unto God. And how should we sacrifice unto God today? What sacrifices does God call for? Hebrews 11 calls for sacrifice of faith. Based on our sermon text, Hebrews 11, verse 4, the sermon theme for our service is faith's sacrifice. We wish to hear three points under this theme. First, a better offering. Second, a better verdict. And third, a better message. First, faith's sacrifice is a better offering. To understand what Abel offered to God, we need to see its context in the book of Genesis, as we read in Genesis chapter 4. The story goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Once they disobeyed God's commandment, they were expelled out of the Garden of Eden. God mercifully spared their physical lives. Then to their joy, Cain was born as the first child to Adam and Eve. We can see how much the mother cherished this baby when she said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." What a precious gift Cain was to his parents in those days of darkness and sadness when they just broke the commandment of God. But the joy did not stop there. Adam and Eve received from the Lord another child whose name was Abel, on which our sermon text focuses. These baby boys grew up and became farmers. The first son grew crops, and the second son raised sheep. There must have been some forms of instruction about bringing an offering unto God. Likely Cain and Abel were both shown this by their parents. And so they each brought something unto God. Cain tilled the ground, so he brought fruit of the ground, and Abel, as a shepherd, brought the best and firstborn of the flock. So, as far as we can see, Adam and Eve were happy to see their sons bringing something to God after their toil. But dear parents among us, do not be content just to see your own children bringing something unto God. Why am I saying this? The first section of our text today qualifies the offering of Abel in such a way that his offering was a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Immediately, some may think that it was not fair. They may think that Abel's offering was pleasing to God because it was a sheep, and Cain's was not pleasing because he only had fruit to bring. Indeed, the same epistle of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." It is true that a sacrificing involving the death of an animal is a clear picture of the coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But God did also later command and accept grain offerings from the people of Israel. As we found in Leviticus chapter 2. The issue here was not simply the type of offering being an animal versus plants. What is the greatest difference between the two sacrifices? The original text uses one Greek word, which is translated in English by faith. Abel offered by faith, while Cain did not offer by faith. Then what is faith? Why is it so important? Hebrews 11, verse 1, defines for us faith in this way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The next verse continues, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. They were placed in very different situations, but they all had faith in common. They saw what God had shown to them and were convinced what God revealed was true. They knew that God exists. They believed that God created heaven and earth by the word of God. They also believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That is why Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him." Abel was the first man listed as an example of this faith. What was Abel given to believe without seeing? Adam and Eve must have taught their children about God's great work of creation, their terrible fall and sinfulness, and God's gracious promise as is found in Genesis 3:15. Both Cain and Abel were given the same instruction, but Abel believed in what he did not see, while Cain did not believe. Romans 11:16 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Children, we are told so much more than what Abel and Cain were told. The substance is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world in the likeness of sinners and died for their sins on the cross. He is risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. In His conception, in His birth, in His suffering, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, we believe without seeing. Faith trusts in this work of Christ alone to find acceptance with God. Faith knows God can only be pleased with Christ's perfect sacrifice. Faith offers sacrifice, trusting Christ's perfect sacrifice to make them acceptable. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain's offering without faith was useless. He may have made great efforts, but his offering did not flow from faith. Cain did not realize how abominable his offering could be without the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, that is why it is said, without faith it is impossible to please God. So, the question for us is today, do we offer sacrifices to God? Do we serve God Do we worship God by faith? We cannot emphasize faith more. No matter how much we hear, we are thankful that we could hear about the faith this morning and also this afternoon. By God's providence, we hear about the faith of Abel. So much so, the chapter that we are looking at this afternoon, the first 9 verses starts with something about faith. And in this chapter alone, 23 times the word faith is repeated. Our first point focused on how they gave their offerings. But when we give someone something, our focus is usually on the response of that person. We think, will they like it? Too often we forget about that in relation to God. However, God's response is most important. What does God think of the sacrifices that we bring in our worship today? What was God's response to the offering brought by Cain and Abel? This leads to our second point, a better verdict. A better verdict. Faith's sacrifice receives a better verdict from God. Think with me how Cain and Abel brought their own offerings unto God. Each brought something to an altar. Abel chose the firstborn among the sheep and killed it and then laid it on an altar. And then he presented it unto God. And Cain brought unto God what he harvested from the field. And Cain was also thinking that God would accept his offering. There was expectation that God will accept his offering. As soon as they offered unto God, both Cain and Abel knew how it went. Abel's offering was accepted while Cain's offering was not accepted. How did they know? It is a question that we can ask today. Was there fire upon the altar so that Abel and Cain knew what happened with their offerings with God? It's a valid question because so many times in the Old Testament, the acceptance of offering was confirmed by the presence of fire from God. It was happening with the offering of Abraham in Genesis 15. Gideon's small offering unto God was confirmed by the fire coming from the rock. Also, when Elijah was in opposition to 440 pagan prophets, their offering was not accepted, but Elijah's offering was accepted through the indication of fire. We are not told whether God sent fire to these altars or this altar for Cain and Abel. But Genesis 4 verse 5 and 4 tells us that God accepted Abel's offering while he rejected Cain's offering. There was no uncertainty, there was no confusion about the consequence of the offerings unto God. The result of offering the sacrifice by faith was that Abel was declared righteous before God. If you have served as a member of jury in a trial in North America, you know that the conclusions should be either guilty or non-guilty. There is no middle ground. So in our case, Abel was declared innocent, righteous, not guilty. Genesis 4:4b says, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." How could God do so? Was Abel good and righteous by nature? No, it cannot be. Abel of his own strength cannot be judged as righteous. Abel himself was one of the descendants of Adam and Eve, along with his older brother Cain. So he himself was a fallen sinner, polluted by sins. Then is it because of faith itself? Some may think that we are righteous by virtue of faith, as if faith itself makes us pleasing to God and righteous. But Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, question and answer 61, says this: "Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of faith, on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only." How then Abel was righteous before God? Abel offered his sacrifice, trusting the sacrifice made by another, who was ultimately righteous, that is, Jesus Christ. So the second part of our text says, "By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift." Here the word "which" refers to faith, not the offering itself. By faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. You may think that God would judge the offerings first and then, based on that offerings, judge the persons. So if somebody brings a good offering, based on that good offering, God will accept the person. Then we can think we can bring sacrifice good enough, and then we are accepted. But surprisingly, God looks at the person first before he looks at what we are bringing. God will accept the person and will decide whether he accepts one's offering or not. That is the order that we found in our text. Look at Genesis 4:4b and verse 5. It says, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Why is this so? Before God can accept our offerings, he must first be pleased with the offerers. Once God receives his children in Christ, God will receive all the offerings that they are bringing by faith in Christ. Then my question today, how do you know if you are righteous like Abel as persons before God? No one can be righteous before God except by faith. The great Reformed doctrine of justification by faith alone is what we believe. Roman Catholics may say that you are justified by faith and good works. They think that you can be saved when you do good works together with faith. But we believe we are justified by faith alone. The famous Christian hymn illustrates this. The way we should come to the Lord. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Dear congregation, where do you hear this testimony that you are righteous? At the sacrifice, the cross of Christ. Do you trust Christ to be accepted by God? Flee to Christ, crucified by faith. And there you will hear God's verdict. You are righteous, not guilty. Innocent. Do you wonder whether you have true faith? True faith shows itself in offering unto God. Look at your own heart today, this afternoon, right now. Do you bear such fruits that we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. No matter how small these fruits may be, we all know that we cannot bear these fruits in and through ourselves. Do you have love for Savior Jesus Christ? How did it come to you? No matter how small it is, it is not from you, but from God. God will receive these fruits through Christ. What about Cain? On the one hand, Abel and his offering was accepted. On the other hand, Cain was totally rejected and declared unrighteous. God could not receive anything from the hand of Cain. Remember, as soon as Adam and Eve violated the commandment of not eating the fruit of knowledge, good and evil, in the Garden of Eden, the thistles and the thorns, the weeds, were growing. Like farmers, Cain had to work hard to bring this produce unto God. And he thought he is bringing something valuable unto God at the end of his hard labor, day and night. But when he ultimately brought something unto God, it was rejected. How unfaithful he was. Genesis 4:5b gives us the immediate hint that Cain was not right in his heart. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. When God warned him, he showed no humble repentance, but rather he showed his arrogance by showing his anger. Dear congregation, how easy we can become like this Cain in his anger. Surely we think very often that we are accepted before God by what we did and by what we are bringing unto God. Calvin points out this kind of attitude found in us. He writes, when we want God to approve the acts of worship we offer Him, He must first of all approve of us and consider us to be acceptable. That teaching is very necessary, for men think they obligated God by doing one thing or another, and yet they remain the same as they are. They do not wish to change. They do not wish to yield to Him, and yet they will offer Him something indescribably worthless by way of payment. Cain thought he was giving something valuable. By giving something unto God, he deserves to be declared righteous. This attitude is right with us today. No matter what Cain had brought, it was rejected. Why? He had no faith. He had no Savior. God can accept our life and worship only in Christ. We could say, based on our text, by faith, Abel obtained a better verdict as a righteous one, God testifying of his gift. What a blessing if you share in that grace and God gives you the same testimony. Now, we have looked at a better offering and a better verdict with respect to Abel's offering by faith. What result now was produced from the faithful offering? This leads to our last point, a better message. Faith's sacrifice gives a better message. Cain, the older brother of Abel, could not overcome the voice of Satan. God already warned Cain earlier about his anger. However, when the opportunity arose, Cain killed his brother. God speaks again to Cain. Look at verse 9 and 10 in Genesis chapter 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You can imagine that Abel might not have been killed if his offering and his brother's offering both were rejected. But God drew a clear line between Cain and Abel. God's witness Cain wanted to destroy. Is Abel forgotten by God and man? Did the devil succeed in silencing Abel's testimony? You may expect Cain to be remembered since he lived longer than Abel, and even he had his own descendants while Abel didn't have any children. But Abel ultimately was better remembered than Cain. Abel left a better message by his life, by his death. Abel's name means something transient. But God could still use Abel's example to pass on better message to people in the coming generations. The third section of our text says, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. It means by faith Abel being dead yet speaketh. Did I say by faith? Yes, by faith Abel speaketh. Abel's faithful life and death gives us a message in these ways. Abel died, but he lived with the Lord forever. The believers live forever with the Lord, even after death. Abel is also remembered by our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus began to mention the names of the martyrs for the church, Abel's name came first. And Jesus mentions the blood of righteous Abel. The blood of righteous Abel in Matthew 23:35. Also, Hebrews 10:31 says, quoting the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. The righteous live by faith in Christ in all situations and preserve through all persecutions to the end by God's grace. And so even with their death, his faithful message still lives as a testimony of the living God. How difficult it is in our days to live as a Christian. The world persecutes the faithful believers, no matter how handful number they may be. Everywhere, even in North America. How much worse in East Asia, in China, in Middle East. In all those countries where there is no freedom of worship. Every day they are threatened as they are gathering around the Word of God to worship God. They are threatened. And what can they do? The just shall live by faith. No matter how difficult it is in our days to live as a Christian, the just shall live by faith. So many people in our days want to be remembered by their coming generations. And what do? They raise foundation. They build monuments for their remembrance. They sell products after their names. And they name buildings after their names. But dear congregation, will not God remember his faithful children who live and die by faith? God can let his grace in you speak even after your death. And the coming generations will remember those who live and die faithfully in God. And by faith, he being dead yet speaketh. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:15. Robert Germain Thomas was born in 1839. He was brought up in Wales and died in 1866. He loved Jesus Christ, became a missionary in China when he was 25. After a few months in China, his dear wife died. He was in great sorrow, but continued to desire to share the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the midst of great sadness, he found out about Korea, which was near China. He first explored the Korean coast, distributing Chinese Bibles to Korean people. After he returned to China, another opportunity came for him to join an American merchant ship going to Korea. At that time, Korea was a hermit nation, and the Korean monarchy was against opening the harbor to the foreigners. The west coast of Korea has a very high tide difference, and when the tide was very low, a conflict broke out between American ship and local people. The ship got stuck on the muddy river bottom, and the ship was set on fire by the local people. All the crew and people on the ship was killed, including Robert Jermaine Thomas. While being captured, he still tried to distribute his Chinese Bibles to the local people. He even gave a copy of Chinese Bible to the executioner who killed him. Thomas could not reach as many Koreans as he wished on that day. Though he died at such a young age, people who received the copies of Chinese Bible began to read them and were converted by the work of the Holy Spirit, and they became believers. Then the churches began to grow in Pyongyang and other parts of northern Korea in late 19th century. It is hard to know how many churches still exist in North Korea, but there are so many churches in this 21st century in South Korea alone. It can be said that the churches in Korea were built upon this testimony of Robert Thomas by faith. Do you want to bring to God a better offering? Do you want to receive a better verdict from God? Do you want to leave a better message to the coming generations? Our foundation must be the sacrifice of Christ, no matter what we bring unto God today in our worship. That is the more excellent sacrifice that the entire epistle to the Hebrews is qualifying. That is the more excellent sacrifice based on the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is perfect, so we cannot add any more to that sacrifice. But at the same time, by God, we are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God today. In our sermon text, Hebrews 11, verse 4, in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, the same meaning is repeated three times. By faith, and by faith. If we sacrifice things for God rightly, we do so by faith. We sacrifice things in vain if we sacrifice something to God without faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen.